Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Joseph's life is the story of how a believer uses the gospel to interpret life. You see, the gospel unlocks the mystery of what God is doing in your life. For without the gospel, you will never understand God or your life. Without the gospel, you cannot know whether God is your friend or foe. It is the gospel alone that gives you the assurance that God forgives you and that God is for you. Faith in the gospel of Christ is what convinces us that God is for us even when everything seems against us. Whether things seem good or evil as they happen to us is really not the point. The point is that the gospel assures you that everything that happens throughout your life is all part of God's loving and orchestrated plan to save you in Christ. Without the gospel, we would be forced to interpret life very differently. When bad things happen to us, we would be left to assume that God doesn't care about what happens to us, or that God isn't able to control what happens to us. And either way is not good. If God doesn't care, or if God isn't in control, life will cease to make sense. You see, there would be no ultimate plan, no loving purpose of God at work in our lives if that were the case. And we would end up interpreting our life fatalistically, seeing it as merely the product of chance. We would be left without hope that God can and does work good from our lives. That's why it's so crucial that we understand Joseph's story. For it is the story of God's loving providential care over Joseph's life. And that story brings hope to us. For it illustrates how God is always directing the outcome of your Christian life from behind the scenes for both your earthly and your eternal good. The gospel makes you this firm promise, even when you can't perceive with all the problems in your life how it is possible. God knows that life sometimes feels like that anchor around our neck that makes us sink, that drags us down with it. And yet, faith in the gospel calls you and I to say the words along with Joseph. The devil and the world may intend this for evil in my life, but God intends it for my good. Joseph's life, you see, reveals a very unique way of looking at life, known only to those who trust in Jesus Christ. For only Christians have this certainty that God works all things together in the lives of those who he has called to believe in his Son. Let's look at Joseph's life. Life started out great for Joseph. Of the 12 brothers, Joseph was his father's favorite son. His father, Jacob, defied all social convention by choosing young Joseph over his older brothers to inherit all his great wealth. Jacob gave Joseph an ornate robe to signify this favoritism towards Joseph. But if that weren't enough, God also favored Joseph and gave him gifts. God gave Joseph a dream that foretold how bright his future would be. And so initially, Joseph has no problem believing the gospel's promise, that God was with him and not against him. You know, it's easy to believe that God loves you in Christ and that he is for you in Christ when everything is going your way in life. But my friends, the real trick is to believe it even when all things seem against us. The fact that everything was going Joseph's way made his brothers insanely jealous. They began to resent Joseph. And we're told in the Bible their animosity grew to hatred when Joseph naively told them the details of this dream. For in this dream, God had revealed to Joseph how all his brothers would one day come and bow before him. Oh, that was the last straw. While they were out in the fields grazing their father's flocks and herds, they decide they must kill Joseph and make it look like an accident. But Judah convinces them to sell Joseph to a caravan of merchants on their way to Egypt. As they sold Joseph into slavery, it looked like God had abandoned him. Was Joseph confident that everything in life was going according to God's plan in that moment as he was being shipped off to Egypt as human cargo in this caravan? I seriously doubt it. And yet God did have a gracious plan in mind, not only for Joseph, but also for his brothers and for his father Jacob, known also to us as Israel, for through him the nation would arise. Joseph was sold to a rich Egyptian official named Potiphar, and things went well at first, but it didn't take long until Joseph experienced yet another terrible injustice. When Potiphar's lustful wife made false accusations against him of sexual assault. And Joseph was thrown into the royal prison, literally to rot. Now, if Joseph had gauged God's affection for him in that moment and in those events, would Joseph have thought that God still loved him? How should he interpret these experiences? Up to now, Joseph's life, like our lives, had been a series of peaks and valleys, of highs and lows. If God loved him, why would he bestow these blessings on Joseph only to turn around and take them away? In the midst of suffering, you and I are tempted to interpret life in the same way. Doubting God's love for us. We too have enjoyed great blessings in lives, sometimes only to see them taken away. God may give us years upon years with a faithful and loving spouse, and then we question God when we lose that spouse. We may enjoy decades of good health, and then bitterly complain to God when days of illness come upon us. God blesses us with years of employment and economic security, and then we begin to waver in our faith when these things suddenly go away. We find ourselves questioning God at times like this, unless we continue to interpret our lives by the gospel. For God's gospel's intentions are just as Joseph said. God meant it for good. Others may intend us evil, but God's intentions in the gospel are always to help you and to save you. Notice that Joseph did not say God meant it for evil. For God is holy, he does nothing evil. But God can recycle evil. And after it has happened, he can turn it into something good. Yes, losing a spouse or losing our health or a job is a fearful thing and a great loss. And yet, no matter what momentary evil befalls us, we know that in the grand scheme of things, God is busy behind the scenes, working in our lives, working good out of evil. For ultimately, no evil can stand in the way of God's ultimate decision to save you and his desire to bless you in Christ. My friends, if you are suffering right now, God's love in the gospel of Christ promises that you will see better days. If not in this life, then certainly in that life shortly to come. Joseph's life would take a turn for the better as well after his days in prison, but his life did not turn around overnight. Joseph would spend another 2 full years in prison before the king of Egypt would hear about Joseph's phenomenal ability to forecast the future and to interpret the dreams of others. God gave Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, this most perplexing dream that he could not figure out. And God arranged it so the king would call on Joseph from his prison cell for wisdom and advice concerning the dream. God gave Joseph the supernatural ability to interpret this dream for Pharaoh. Joseph explained that there would be 7 years of abundance on the earth, followed by 7 years of famine. And in God's wisdom, Joseph instructed Pharaoh to use those prosperous 7 years wisely to prepare by storing away grain for the 7 lean years to come. And Pharaoh was so grateful to Joseph. He was so impressed with Joseph's God and the gifts the God of Israel had given to Joseph that he elevated Joseph to the highest position of authority alongside him as king of Egypt. And so Joseph went from being imprisoned slave and stranger in a foreign country to becoming literally Pharaoh's right-hand man. This happened because God was working all things together for good in Joseph's life. God raised Joseph to unheard-of power for a non-Egyptian in Egypt, just so that Joseph would be able to keep the 12 sons of Israel and their families alive in the coming years of scarcity and famine. After mistreating Joseph so badly, his brothers fear revenge and retribution when they discover that the high-ranking Egyptian official that they're dealing with is the brother they betrayed. And you know, Joseph might have exacted revenge upon his brothers if he had actually believed that his brothers were capable of ruining his life. But they hadn't, and they couldn't. For God had turned their evil into something good. And Joseph understood that God had used all the things that had happened to him in his life, including his brother's betrayal, so that Joseph would be in a position to save the 12 tribes of Israel. And most importantly to us, to preserve the tribe of Judah, from whose human ancestry the Christ would be born as the Savior of the world. As his earliest dream from the Lord predicted, Joseph's brothers did eventually bow to his authority. Only they had nothing to fear from Joseph. For God had exalted Joseph to the position of power to help his brothers, not to hurt them. And this led Joseph to say these wonderful words that I hope you will take as your own life verse. Joseph says, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me. But as for God, he meant it for good. To bring it about that many people should be kept alive. So do not fear. I will provide for you." The gospel reveals a God that is saying the very same words today to you. I mean everything in your life for good. Interpret your life by these words. For while others may indeed plot evil against you, as they did with Joseph, God has better plans for you. And those plans, my friends, will prevail. And God's plans are to love you and to provide for you and to care for you through Christ Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds unto life everlasting. Amen.